Wendell Quisenberry is here for our monthly chat about what's going on in our Tomahawk School District. Wendell, Happy New Year, and thanks for being with us today.
Happy New Year. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got into something here before we turned the microphones on. Maybe we can visit that just a little bit. But first of all, let's start off with some good news board recognitions. This is where you bring something to the board's attention, and then the board gets to recognize what's going on. So let's talk about that, because there were two this month.
Yeah, two really good ones to talk about. First, we'll talk about a student one. So typically, our board likes to recognize staff members, and the criteria for who they recognize is usually around doing something that extends beyond the borders of our school into the community or the district as a whole, but something that where we'll have staff members that promote our school in a positive way outside of just our brick-and-mortar building. So we have two teachers that we recognized last night for that, but we also had students this time, which the board has not done. This is the first time that they've actually dove into that category. So our middle school and our elementary school annually, every year throughout October and leading into Veterans Day, hosts a fundraiser. And it's different every year what they do and that sort of thing. But the student councils in those buildings have put a lot of effort into raising money, and then they donate it typically to the national to the Never Forgotten Honor Flight. This year they also donated to Wreaths Across America.
Oh yeah,
which they donated $400 that went to providing, I believe, 40 wreaths to the Northwoods National Cemetery in Harshaw to be displayed throughout the holidays. And then they raised, the additional money went to Never Forgotten Honor Flight. They raised enough money to sponsor 5 area veterans for that honor flight, which is anywhere between 5 and 6 annually. So yeah. Since they've been doing this, they've sponsored 72 vets.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the most in their 13-county region.
Yeah. Do the kids know where they stand with this as the distinction as the number one fundraising school in the whole Never Forgotten Honor Flight area? Do they know that?
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that were there, and I know our student council reps, Megan Barker in elementary and Susie Coleman in the middle school, have definitely promoted that with them. And, you know, the speeches and the things that we hear from the veterans when they're there that day, it's not just a trip. Like you are changing the perspective in the lives of some of these veterans.
Yes.
in that experience. So they do it. It's something that we really pride ourselves on, having that positive connection with our veterans and making sure that our students have those relationships too. So it's always an incredible day and it's an incredible month really for these students to work so hard to do that and then to see the fruits of their labor. So I'm glad our board was willing to recognize them last night. We had a number of kids show up and receive that honor. So that was amazing.
I think this has given these kids a leg up on life. When I was in school in elementary, the Vietnam War was going on. And so we were very sheltered. I don't remember the teachers talking to us about the war, about anything at any time. And so the fact that these kids are aware of all this that's going on in the world and what our veterans have gone through, I think this has given them a leg up in life.
Right, right. Well, you know, and the thing is, too, many of the veterans that we're sending on these trips are Vietnam vets. And
yes.
We all know the history of what our Vietnam vets experienced when
yep.
they came home. They didn't
yep.
come home to ticker tape parades. They
right.
came home to a lot of animosity. So to see this positive experience in the giving back and to be able to go to Washington, D.C. and mm-hmm. Experience that, I think, is really great.
Hats off to them kids.
Very much so. The second one, very proud of a couple of our staff members. So Nikki Schiltz, our elementary art teacher, and Annabelle Neve. I had a community member who let me step back a second. Earlier this fall, our neighboring district in Prentice had experienced a tragedy going into the very beginning of the year. And it resulted in them not having an elementary teacher to start the year.
Okay.
And so a community member here had stepped up that was a retired teacher, and Carla Gerstenberger, and stepped into that role but was not an art teacher traditionally. And so she said, I will take on this role. I will help you. And she reached out to a couple of our teachers and just said, you know, can you help me with the lesson plans and some of the things that I need to, you know, to know in order to navigate through this school year. And she, so she had reached out to me and just said, you know, please recognize these two. They did amazing work in helping me prepare to help the students in Prentice as they navigated through that challenging time. So we honored both of them last night, and I think it just really, it's heartwarming to know that we have teachers that are willing to give their time to another teacher that care about their profession, that have that kind of integrity, and that care about students, not just in our district, but in other districts as well. So very deserving of that honor, and we were happy to be able to honor them last night as well.
Congratulations to those teachers and those kids. I think, Wendell, this is the kind of stuff that is just a reflection on our whole community. When I first got to Tomahawk, I could tell something was different about this place, different in a very good way. After being here now for almost 15 years, I think it's almost like it seems, it's, and I know it's not this way, but looking at it from the outside in, it almost looks like this town, we're in competition with each other to pay it forward better than the guy before us did.
Isn't that the truth?
It's like we're all trying to one-up each other, paying it forward. So that's, I guess that's where I was trying to, what is it about this community? Well, I can't put my finger on it, but that's, I think, where the finger is. I think we're almost all in a competition to one-up the other guy for paying it forward.
You know, and you see examples of that numerous times. Every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So very proud to be a part of this community, and happy that the school can maybe incorporate that in our kids at a very young age too, or at least help in doing that, because I know their parents are doing a good job of that as well.
We'd love to hang on to these kids once they graduate, but what other communities they go to, they're going to better that community whenever they end up.
That's our goal.
That's a good thing. Okay, taxes and state education budget. Yeah. Here in Lincoln County, people that are looking at our tax bills are saying, what? And so, yeah, there's. Let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, here in Tomahawk, taxes and state education, how are they related? I understand you're starting to get calls.
Yeah, we always do this time of year. you know, there's things that are within our control in terms of what school tax looks like, and there's things that sometimes are not. And so I'm always happy to navigate that and answer as many questions as I can with folks. This year, 71% of the districts across our state saw a reduction in state aid. That, and it's important, I think, for people to understand when they hear that, that doesn't mean that schools get less money. Schools they operate with permission to raise a certain amount of money. And there's, when the state aid, when that comes in, all it does is offset the portion of that that goes to local taxes versus the portion that comes from the state. But it doesn't increase funding. And so when we get a reduction, this year we saw a $500,000 reduction in our state aid. That means that's $500,000 that then comes, that goes back onto the tax rolls that otherwise wouldn't.
Right.
So what we do to try to counter that is we look at our budget. And when we write our budget, we can levy for less than what we are allowed, the maximum amount we're allowed. This year we levied $500,000 less than our maximum to try to offset that burden. Our budget was a little bit higher than last year, but that's due more to the cost to continue the programs that we have, not the addition of programs and that sort of thing. So inflation, as we all know, everything costs more. So your budget annually is going to go up a little bit to provide the same services that you provided a year prior. So we saw that, but we did under levy by $500,000 to offset that max burden. There are going to be fluctuations in people's taxes throughout the different townships. You know, we had a TID district in the city that is no longer. So that altered the taxes in the community because it's a bigger tax base now, more taxable properties. So that should have actually offset or went down a little bit for most properties. And then you get outside of the city with reassessments in each township. It just depends on what the overall value of your township is and how that played out. So some people's taxes might have increased a little bit. Some might have gone down a little bit. It just depends on where you're at and what township you're in.
Right. And down in the Merrill School District, those of us who live in that school district, there's a lot of social media stuff going on, and it's dividing the community up. And social media, the best thing about social media, it'll divide your community. That's my little editorial right there. But anyway, it's dividing the community there. And some people's taxes went down, others went way, way, way up. Mm-hmm. And so that's causing a lot of consternation. You can't go almost anywhere in Maryland. People are talking about their school portion of their property taxes. I don't expect you to talk for the Merrill administration, but I would open up the door right now to, as an invite to the Merrill administration, to come in here and sit down like you are and explain what's going on, because a lot of us are just, what the heck? It's got nothing to do with assessments or anything. It's straight school tax. Yeah. And I'm wondering, here in Tomahawk, we really don't have a problem passing referendums. When the school says, okay, we need this to keep things going, these referendums in Tomahawk have gone through. In Merrill, they just don't go through, and so now everybody's blaming that. Well, you didn't pass the referendum, and that's why your school taxes are going up, so you made your own bed. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure any of this stuff out, so that's why I would love to have somebody from Merrill come in here and explain that to the southern half of Lincoln County. Sure. About what's going on there. But if you have any insight whatsoever to offer our listeners, Wendell.
Well, I can say this. I know Shannon Murray well. I'm sure he'd be happy to come down and talk to you.
Okay.
He's a very smart guy, and
put in a good word for me, please.
I certainly will. Yeah, and I'm sure if he got the invite, he would take that up.
Okay.
But I will say this. You know, if you look at, yes, referendums, unfortunately, have become a pretty prominent part of school funding across our state. Northwoods especially, but even extending into every area of our
right.
state, as much as declining enrollment and all of these things. You know, this is a challenge that we're going to be dealing with for a long time. One thing I can speak about, you know, Tomahawk in particular, and I think it helps with our ability to pass a referendum in our community, is we try to keep that referendum amount consistent. So the last few referendums that we've passed have been pretty consistent in the amount. So we're, even though we just passed a four-year, in 4 years' time, you know, my hope is that we can come back and ask for the same amount, that we don't have to come back and ask for 1 million more or 500,000 more. We're asking for the same amount because we're living within our means mm-hmm. and making, you know, the strategic decisions that we need to not exceed that budget. There are variables I can't control. I can't ever guarantee that, but that's our effort. And we're fortunate to have a very skilled bookkeeper that helps us stay in front of that as well and knows our budget very well, as you know, and we can bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, basically I can advocate for things and she can tell me no. How about
okay.
that?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how that works.
We all need people to tell us right? no in this
yes,
life.
And yes,
it's
absolutely.
Dangerous when people ain't telling people no.
Correct. Very correct. So, you know, and in Merrill's situation, every district is completely a different scenario. But, you know, whether you pass a referendum or whether you don't, you know, if you pass a referendum, your taxes are going to go up.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of a 6 one way, half a dozen another mm-hmm. in terms of how you look at it. But I think statewide that the fact that we did not get any types of increases to general aid has dramatically impacted schools. And a lot of the money that, you know, you hear about in this state budget cycle, it went into categoricals. And categorical aid funds schools differently. It's not a blanket approach. What a school might need in transportation costs somewhere else or here, you might not need in another district, so it doesn't benefit them.
Hmm.
One of the things that I advocated strongly for was a huge increase in special education funding. We see anywhere from $1 million to $1.8 million out of our general fund every year to reimburse the costs that we have associated with providing the special ed services that we need to provide to our students. We did see a talking point come through that this was going to be increased to 42% and 46% in the second year. The reality is that's a some certain amount. So they anticipate what that's going to be. They dump a certain amount of money into the account, and it ends up being 35 or 33%. I think the estimates are around 35% reimbursement, so 35 cents on the dollar. Now, I'm not going to advocate for a some sufficient amount, because it's hard for the state to say, yep, we'll dump whatever amount of money we need to get to that, because they have to budget plan as well. But when we start looking at how we fund schools, I think the system isn't keeping up with inflation or the cost of the actual cost of providing those services. And that's a conversation that I think we need to have on a much bigger scale.
And one question that keeps coming back to me is we run a surplus of tax collections here in this state. And then you got one side saying, here's what we should do with it. Another side saying, well, that's the people's money. Just give it back to them. they're coming back for the money anyway, so why not use some of that surplus money to do what we're paying for right now and just get the job done and take the politics out of this?
Well, yeah, that would be nice. You know, to take the politics out of it.
I ain't holding my breath that that's going to happen.
Let's work the problem and not work on trying to beat the other side.
Amen to that. Wendell Quisenberry, our school district administrator here in Tomahawk, with us this morning. The school board election update. Do enough people want to run? We're going to have a full board and everything.
Well, we'll see. Currently, we have. So we went through the board reapportionment, and part of that is a 3-year process to roll this out. So essentially what it does is every election cycle, it creates a position where it needs to be. So in this case, we have two positions that that now are being combined into one. So we had two incumbent candidates in Ron Zimmerman and Kay Kissinger-Wolf.
Okay.
And the city then gets an additional apportioned position this election cycle. So those two would have to either run against each other. Kay decided that she was going to step aside. She has been on the board for many years, and she's been a very respected and great board member to have. We're definitely going to miss her. But Ron has decided to run, and then Dave Long will run for the seat in King, Harrison, Nokomis, Wilson, Little Rice. So it combined all of these townships into essentially three apportioned areas now.
Okay.
And then the city will have another one. So currently we are the city will have to be a write-in candidate. We did not have a candidate submit their paperwork by the deadline.
I would assume the board's going to make a big deal at Kay's last meeting. Like you said, that woman's been serving this community's kids forever, and she deserves a lot of recognition.
She does, and we're gonna miss her. So hopefully something opens up and we can get her back on the board.
Upcoming district open house is scheduled for February 12th. What are people going to see when they come?
Yeah, this is the second annual. So this is a showcase night for our district, and it also coincides with our winter parent-teacher conferences. So you can still schedule your parent-teacher conferences. We open this up so that you can do phone, virtual, or in-person parent-teacher conferences. But at our middle and high school, this is an opportunity for staff to get into classrooms and see some of the great things that are happening. So projects that kids are doing are going to be on display. We'll have our music departments will have various things going on. So Mark Schomer heads this up, and he's our curriculum director and teaching and learning director. And he's done a phenomenal job rallying people to this event and making sure that we are showcasing all the amazing things that are happening, or many of the amazing things that are happening on a daily basis that parents wouldn't otherwise see. Mm-hmm. You might hear about it, but not see. And it's open to the community, so you don't have to be a parent of a student. You can come in and check out all the great things that are happening.
Hi, Jimmy. What'd you do at school today? Stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What's going on over there? Nothing.
Nothing.
So parents, this is a real opportunity to see what's really going on there.
That's right.
Last time we left off talking about how AI is being used here in our school district, and we ran out of time. We're running out of time here again. So just real quick, let's try to put this on top of the agenda next time. And just real quick, what would you tell parents who don't get AI? What are their kids getting right now in school? And the parents need to be on top of that and worried about it. Real quick, Wendell, how would you address that?
Well, I would say, there's probably a third of our society that is excited about AI, a third of our society that is petrified of it, and a third
that's
completely perplexed, right?
Yeah.
And so what I will tell you is that, from a school standpoint, we know that AI is something that is going to revolutionize a lot of different industries and markets and the way business is done across our country, and it already has had a huge impact. So our responsibility is to make sure that our students, understand it, that our staff understand it, and our students understand how to use it as a tool. Like anything, it can be a tool, it can be a weapon, it can be a lot of different things, but there are productive educational uses for AI, both on the teacher side and as a student side, but it definitely changes the way that we assess learning. The traditional formats are going to be easy for kids to skirt and get around using AI. So we have to be on top of that, and that's been a focus area for us with staff development as well. So I'd love to talk about that topic and dive into that. We could probably spend a whole time next time.
Well, if there's, we can kind of skirt by some of the other stuff and really dive into that. But I think that'd be a fascinating discussion. I know when I see my kids that are still in school, I can't believe they're all going to be out of school now. My goodness, a whole bunch of graduating college kids. And anyway, I asked them at Christmas time, how much do you use AI every day at school? And they said a lot.
Yeah.
So it's out there. So if we can get a little better handle on that and understand it, that'd be great. Wendell, always appreciate your time being here. Happy New Year once again. We'll see you next month.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
I know he's got an open door policy there at the school district office, too. So if you have any questions, you don't have to wait for once a month here on the radio. Give him a call anytime over at the school district office. Got to shut